All right. Good morning, everyone. So as Lynn has pointed out, this morning Pal Talk seems to be in and out. I was actually a little happy to hear that because I wasn't certain if it was just me or not. And I was doing everything I could here to fix it and could not fix it. So now I see why. So we'll have to be a little patient. I will try to, of course, speak slowly. But as you all know, this is also being recorded. And so if you hear something that you, oh good, I'm glad it happens to be good now. But if it does go in and out again, if you hear something that you want to hear better and you're not able to hear it perfectly because of the in and out, remember that there will be a recording. But yeah, everybody says the sound seems to be good now, so hopefully it will stay that way. Wonderful. Well, welcome everyone to our Sunday morning weekly gathering. And I see everyone is coming into the room. It's really a lot of fun to see everyone come together at this certain time every week. I'm going to start today by playing the song that I traditionally play, and I think many of us now traditionally play at the beginning of our weekly service. It's We Are Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten. And of course, this is your opportunity to greet one another on the board. So everyone, please take this opportunity to say hello. I'm going to begin today with our statement of purpose, and as you all know, the statement of purpose varies each week a little bit because the presiding minister selects either our purpose or one of our core values, which seems to fit best with the topic of the day. And today I have chosen our core value number 5 as our statement of purpose. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And if I was to highlight a portion of that core value as really being closely aligned with today's teaching, it would be those last five words, continually reflecting on changeless truth. I think that's really the heart of what we're going to be talking about today, staying in that continually reflecting on changeless truth. Yeah, thank you, Barb, for putting that on the board. I'm going to start with some announcements, as we always do. First of all, I've noticed that Ken and Rebecca have been typing in the room, looking forward to seeing many of you at the fall retreat, and the first announcement is about the fall retreat. As you all know, we have a retreat in Colorado Springs beginning on October 23rd and running through October 30th. But as you also know, that is really three separate retreats. So some of you will probably come to all three, but some of you will come to only one or two of those retreats. And as you know, the first retreat is Regina Dawn Akers from October 23rd to the 27th. And then we have a one-day retreat with Brent Haskell on October 28th. And then beginning the evening of October 28th and running through lunchtime on October 30th, the traditional weekend, we have another retreat with John Mark Stroud. And I thought one thing I would share with you was a little bit about the cost. And I don't have the costs written down here in front of me, but you can find those on the website underneath our events menu. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about how we figure the costs. It's always in my heart, always. In fact, I've even been criticized for this, but it hasn't changed my heart. It's always in my heart to make the price as low as possible. So that people can come. It's not in my heart to use retreats in order to get as much money out of people as possible. All retreats have expenses. We have expenses related to the retreat center. We have expenses related to the travel and boarding of the volunteers that are going to work at the retreat and make it happen, as well as the travel and boarding and then a reasonable payment to the speakers, not including Regina. I am never paid, but John Mark Stroud and Brent Haskell will receive a payment. And so I take all of those expenses, and then what I do is I divide the total amount of expenses by a reasonable amount of people. And I think usually I choose around 25 people as that reasonable amount. And that becomes the cost of the retreat. So if 25 people attend the retreat, we break even. If less than 25 people attend the retreat, we lose money. And if more than 25 people attend the retreat, we make money. And last year, especially because of Bentinho's retreat, where a lot of his people came and we had 70 people, that's significantly over, and so we made some money. What do we do with the profits if we make money? Well, the board of directors has voted that if we make money on the retreat, all of that money will go towards our own retreat center campaign. So that's what happens if more than 25 come and we make, quote, profit on the retreat, then all of that profit goes towards our retreat center campaign. So I just wanted to let you know kind of the methodology between how we figure the cost. I wanted you to know that it is in our heart to keep the cost as low as possible. And in fact, if you compare our costs to other retreat costs, you'll see that we're doing that. Many times you'll see a cost similar to the cost of our retreat, but then there will be a note that does not include room. Our retreats do include the room, of course, unless you take the commuter rate, but it includes your room. It includes the meals while you're there. It's a very low-priced retreat. Also, in addition to trying to keep the price as low as possible, we are always very careful to try and keep the quality of the retreat very, very high, so that when you come, it will be an incredible retreat experience, hopefully one that results in some kind of a shift, some kind of a permanent change in you, so that you really feel that time away was well worth it. So If you are interested in the retreat, please consider coming. Also, you might want to consider not only registering soon, but if possible, paying in full soon. Those people who pay in full by August 15th do get an early bird price. The reason for that is actually related to our contract. We have commitments that we have to make to the retreat center a couple months out in advance. And when we make those commitments, you know, we'll be saying, for example, yes, for sure, we'll be using this many rooms. And if people do not come, then we have to pay for the rooms anyway. And so to try and get as accurate a count as possible so that we are not at risk for losing too much money, because losing money, we're a nonprofit, but losing money is not our goal. So that's the reason for the early bird price. Those of you who pay in full by August 15th, we can feel pretty secure that you're coming, and that helps us to make a more accurate count. But we do always include rooms for people who have not signed up in that count, because to be honest, the way this tends to work is we get about 50% of the signups in the first few weeks after announcing the retreat, and about the other 50% in the last month. And so we know that formula as well, and so we add that into our estimate to the retreat center. But it is helpful if you commit fully by August 15th. That gives us a little more security in the numbers that we give to the retreat center. And that's why we offer that early bird price if you pay in full by August 15th. Also, for those of you who want to come, but sincerely cannot afford it, we do have a scholarship program. It's a very healthy scholarship program. In fact, to my knowledge, we have never fully exhausted our scholarships. So if it's really in your heart to come, please be sure to apply for those scholarships, because we are very happy to share that money. That's why we have a scholarship fund. Again, you can find out all of the information about our fall retreat by going to our website, awakening-together.org, and then clicking on the events menu and looking at the fall retreat. Also, I just want to say that I do want to encourage people to come to my retreat this year. I can't speak specifically on what Brent Haskell or John Mark Straub will be doing at the retreat, but I am planning what one might call an intensive. This is going to be a retreat where I'm going to be very, very focused in helping everyone who comes in improving their, what I'm calling, awakening skills. Awakening skills are skills you usually practice completely alone. They're the skills you practice, the journaling skills, the contemplation skills, the inquiry skills, the mind-watching skills. And these are the skills that you practice completely alone. And people have expressed to me many times through questions that they're not real sure about how to practice these skills. They don't feel real secure. And so I have decided to dedicate my retreat to helping everyone to really enhance these skills. And these are the skills that awaken you. So I really want to encourage everyone to come to this retreat. I think you'll find it truly beneficial. Our second announcement today, you may have also heard that we are starting a new round of the Minister Preparation Program. In fact, we have an Introduction to MPP class on August 11th. We also have one on August 4th, but I've closed that one because it's full. And so we're now in the process of filling the August 11th class. This is just a two-hour free class that teaches you about the Minister Preparation Program so that you can decide if you want to take it or not. And typically, about 50% of the people who take Intro to MPP decide to go forward and take it, and about 50% decide it's not for them. So we know that, and that's why we offer a few of these classes, to give you the chance to come and find out. So even if you're just curious, feel free to sign up for the Intro to MPP. There's no commitment. This is so you can find out if you want to make that commitment or not. The MPP program is a two-year program if you do make the commitment, and it has four primary objectives. And these objectives are very, very sincere. The first objective is to help participants increase reliance on their own spiritual wisdom. And in fact, the entire program is designed around this objective. That's why once you get involved in the program, you'll find that you actually do the homework before coming to class. We want it to be you alone with your inner intuition. And then you come to class and you'll get additional insights from the other participants and from the facilitator. But it's you alone with your own inner spiritual intuition that's going to help increase that reliance and increase that skill. So this isn't a lecture and learn type of a course. This is very contemplative and sometimes very meditative. The second objective is to help participants recognize universal truth in various spiritual teachings. One weakness of focusing on one spiritual teaching, and this seems to be true most of the time. It doesn't matter what that one spiritual teaching is, whether it's A Course in Miracles or Buddhism or Ramana Maharshi's teachings or whatever. One weakness to focusing on one spiritual teaching is that it uses a consistent set of symbols. And typically, spiritual aspirants get the symbols confused with the truth. One advantage to looking at several different spiritual teachings that use different symbols that are teaching the same thing is you get to where you can kind of see the space between the symbols. You start to see more clearly what the symbols are pointing to instead of becoming attached to the symbols themselves. And so that's what we mean by recognizing universal truth in various spiritual teachings. Many people that have taken MPP said they thought when they started taking it, they were going to be learning about a lot of different religions. And it doesn't take them long to find out that is not what this course, that what the MPP program is about. The MPP program is about teaching over and over again one consistent truth, but spoken about in many different ways. And again, it's to help get past the symbols to that space between the symbols that all of the symbols are trying to point towards. The third objective is to embrace natural, wakeful, spiritual practice with ease. Many people that take MPP say the reason they take it is they do not feel that on their own they have a strong spiritual practice. And so they take it because they know that they need this strong personal spiritual practice with regularity and consistency. And so that's another objective. And actually, when you take MPP, you will get the chance to try on different spiritual practices. And you will find those spiritual practices that fit. And by fit, I mean it feels natural. When you focus on that spiritual practice, you notice progress. So for people who just feel like they are not truly in the spiritual practice groove, maybe they feel like they lack discipline, maybe they feel like they're spiritual practice has been more, their spiritual path has been more intellectual than anything else. This is one of the objectives, is to help you find your spiritual practice groove that you can be consistent with and progress with. And then the fourth objective is to realize unswerving clarity and discernment. The ego wants you to be confused. And the ego will even use spiritual teachings to confuse you. But you can transcend that ego confusion and realize an unswerving clarity and discernment so that the ego cannot confuse you again. And that is also one of the objectives of MPP. Also, the reason that we ordain Awakening Together ministers is not to set aside some people as special and other people as not special. In fact, I do not see minister as meaning much of anything at all. I would never identify with being a minister and see myself as special because of it. And I strongly encourage everyone else to take that term just as lightly. But the reason for ordaining ministers is to have a group of people who have gone through this program and increased their reliance on spiritual wisdom, recognized universal truth in various teachings, are embracing a wakeful spiritual practice each day, and are beginning to at least realize and practice an unswerving clarity. The objectives are the reason for the program. So minister does not need to interest you at all. In fact, you could go take the entire program and at the very end decide not to be ordained, and I would be perfectly happy with that. The objectives are the reason for the program. And there is no one that these objectives do not benefit. So please consider MPP. And if this does interest you but now is not right, we start the program at least once, sometimes twice every year. So there will be another chance to begin at the beginning. But if now is right, please go to our website, look under the classes menu, and you'll find where you can register now to start MPP. Again, the intro to MPP class is just a little under a month away on August 11th. I have another very, very important announcement. When Awakening Together was set up, we had to make a lot of decisions about our policies. And one of the decisions that we made was that every third year we would ask our members to rejoin, to re-up their membership. And the purpose of this is to clean out the database of anyone who has truly lost interest. You know, it's very easy to sign up for an online church and register. And then some people just disappear and they're not really a part of Awakening Together. And we want to keep Awakening Together very focused on our purpose and our five core values. And so every third year, we will ask our members to rejoin if they still feel aligned with that purpose and those five core values. This week, I am going to be creating that opportunity and sending it out to all members. First, there will be an announcement email that will come, and then later in the week, there will be a little form that you will fill out if you want to rejoin. So please, if you still want to be one of our members, if our purpose and our five core values still resonate deeply for you, if you feel like Awakening Together is the right place for you right now in your awakening process, please re-up. Kathy's asking, how many members do we presently have? 575. And we do expect that to be significantly reduced in this re-up process. And if you don't feel Awakening Together is right for you, this is a time to let that membership go. So I ask everyone to look in the heart and then watch for the emails that will be coming out from me this week and re-up your membership if Awakening Together is still your church of choice. And then I just want to remind you that we have an exciting night coming up tonight in the sanctuary, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 Pacific. We will replay the John Mark Stroud Satsang. This was my interview of him last fall, and this, of course, is in preparation for our fall retreat. You know, kind of like sometimes when you're driving to a rock concert, you're listening to the CD of the band you're going to hear. Also, some of you, I'm sure, have forgotten what John Mark Stroud had to say, and you might want to hear this in order to help you make your decision about whether you'll attend his retreat or not. So tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll replay the John Mark Stroud Satsang from last fall. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, Carrie Triffitt will be here for the second week of her mini-series, which is called Living in Mastery. I also want to remind you that next week is the fourth Sunday of the month, and the fourth Sunday of the month is our movie discussion group. So if you haven't watched this week's movie yet, you still have this week to do it. If you haven't watched this month's movie, you have this week to do it. And that the name of the movie is The Nines, and it's starring Ryan Reynolds and Melissa McCarthy, The Nines. So one more week to watch our movie. So that concludes my announcements. Thank you very much for being patient through the announcements. I always think the announcements are very important, but I like to put them at the beginning of our gathering because once we enter into the holy or the more sacred part of the gathering, I don't want to come back out for the announcements. I want to stay with that. And it is now time to enter into the more sacred part of our gathering. So I'm going to start by playing a song that's going to set us up for that sacred portion of our gathering. This is a song by Stephen Walters, and it is called Listen Closely.
a song only the heart can hear. Listen closely, older than time, yet fresh as the fragrance of a flower, is this melody. Poets and lovers have spoken of the song, such sweet despair. Reach for this and it's closer than your hand. Let go and it's there. Then the music, such sweet music, suddenly the music's everywhere, everywhere. Sing the mountain, sing the rising sun, sing the flowing river in the valley just beyond. Mystery has no end, it just goes on and on. Sing until the singer is the song. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. Gate, gate, paragate, parasangate, bodhiswaha. Friend, I know that you can hear the song. I see the melody in your eyes. I needn't know you. Song it is the same. May you always hear this music. May your heart be filled with music. May all hearts hear this music. And our voices fill the skies. Sing the mountain. Sing the rising sun. Sing the flowing river. And the valley just the mystery has no ending, it just goes on and on. Sing till the singer is the song. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. There is a song only the heart can hear. Listen.
So now it is time for our prayer. I will begin with silence and the prayer will begin when it begins. Please join me. We at Awakening Together do have a joined purpose. And that purpose is what we call awakening. Realizing ourself as infinite presence instead of thinking ourself to be these body, minds, these personalities, these temporary manifestations. We often refer to this belief that we are these people as the ego. And so we say we are here to let go of ego. Let go of the belief that I am this person, so that I may realize myself as infinite presence. One practice that is recommended over and over again in many ways is to recognize that which reinforces the belief that I am the person, and to let it go untouched by me, by my attention, by my belief, by my passion. And instead, abide as the presence. By not acting like the person, and by abiding as the presence, the belief that we are the person fades away and dies, and the realization of our truth dawns. As we listen to today's reading and today's teaching, help us to keep this purpose in our mind. It is the belief in the person, the belief in the personality, belief in the mind, in the thoughts as me, that is to be let go, that is to be allowed to die. And that is our shared purpose. So the question is, how can we do this? Amen. And with that, I now am going to turn the mic over to Reverend David Fishman, whom we fondly call Dove. Dove is going to read to us from Gina Lake's book, In the World, But Not of It. Dove, the mic is yours.
Gina Dawn Eggers loves your opening and the prayer. And I am so honored really to read for you. And when you originally asked me, because I didn't know what you wanted me to read, and then you said it's the new book by Gina Lake, In the World But Not of It, which I just happen to have that book. I don't have a lot of books that I'm reading, but I was sent this book by Gina Lake. I hope to do a review for her, maybe for Miracles Magazine. But I also want to say one thing about it. Even though it says by Gina Lake, the book itself is really, as she calls it on the front cover, New Teachings from Jesus on Embodying the Divine. So it's not really the Gina Lake as author. She is, in a way, a scribe or channeling from the presence that we know as Jesus. And I found this book incredible from beginning to end. It is the words of Jesus speaking to us in very human and divine terms. And the section I'm reading from is actually called Fully Human and Fully Divine. And it starts on the bottom of page 79 for anyone who might have the book and want to read along. It starts, the best approach for dealing with egoic communications is to listen quietly without chiming in for your own opinions, judgments, advice, stories, or complaints. This will keep you from getting pulled into the thought stream. This will keep you from getting pulled into the thought stream that's coming out of other people's mouths. Just notice what's being spoken without identifying with it, without agreeing or disagreeing with it. When you're noticing from a place of neutrality, equanimity, and compassion, you know that you are in presence. The funny thing is, the less you say in most conversations, the nicer you're likely to seem to others, and the nicer you're likely to actually be. The impulsive need to speak is almost always the ego. The impulsive need to speak is almost always the ego as it pushes forward to get some need met by the conversation, to be right, to be seen as smart, or to gain approval. Curtailing that impulse to speak keeps the ego out of the conversation and gives presence a chance instead. By being quiet, you are making space for presence in the conversation, and people will feel that. Then speak only when you move to speak by presence. Just as you might wait before answering an email, waiting a moment before speaking will help you stay connected to presence and make it more likely you'll express presence instead of the ego when you do speak. Here are some tips for staying in presence when you're having a conversation. Notice what others are saying and where it is coming from, the ego or presence. Notice what your own thought stream might be producing in response to theirs. Keep your attention on what you're experiencing in the here and now, on the aliveness in your body, and on your sensory experience. Stay seated in what is noticing. Stay with what is aware. Stay with what is aware. When you're speaking, be attentive to how much the ego is in what you are saying, particularly in your I statements. When you say I, notice what that's like. Can you hear the ego? Can you feel it? Your own presence is what's able to know this. Being identified with the ego feels tight, contracted, and icky. The more identified you are with I, the less good you feel about yourself, and the stronger the need is to defend yourself, be right, and be special. Those who have very little identification with the ego, having difficulty even saying I, because I'll repeat, those who have very little identification with the ego have difficulty even saying I, because that seems so false. So if you have a hard time saying or believing I, or believing what you're saying after you say I, that's a very good sign. It means you aren't very identified with the false self. Noticing that you believe what you're saying to different degrees, even as the words are coming out of your mouth, is an excellent practice. Eventually, you'll be left mostly with words that come from presence. The degree to which you believe what you're saying is the degree to which you are identified with the false self, and also the degree to which presence is there, since presence is what notices identification. The more ego or identification with thought there is, the less presence there is. The less ego or identification with thought there is, the more presence there is. The word identification gives the impression that ego identification is either happening or not. You are either identified or not. But rather than being black or white, there are many shades of identification, just as there are many degrees in which you believe something. You may believe or be identified with a thought just a little or completely. Those are two very different experiences of thought and two very different states of consciousness. The egoic state is one in which you believe your thoughts without question. The enlightened state is when you no longer believe your thoughts. I'm going to repeat that. The enlightened state is when you no longer believe your thoughts. I like that. Talking about yourself can be a slippery slope. You may start out not identified at all with I and end up more identified than you'd like. Limiting how much you say at any one time will make it less likely that your ego will step in and take over. Both conscious and unconscious people often start out speaking in equanimity and aligned with love and good intentions, but then the ego slips in and inserts its point of view, and the emotions, the clouds, begin to roll in. State what you want to say briefly, and then stop. Let others speak. Find out what they have to bring to the flow of conversation. Being present to others stands a chance of bringing others into presence with you. Presence is not only good for you, but for everyone. So although egos can activate your ego and get it going in directions that you don't want to go, being in presence can activate presence in others and help turn the world around one person at a time. I'm going to turn this mic back to you. Thank you so much, Regina, for giving me this chance to share.
Yeah, and how wonderful that I happened to pick a book that you have. Yeah, and Dove is posting from the very end of the reading, and I'm actually going to start my speaking from the very end of the reading, because the very end of the reading really captures the essence of the entire reading. The very end of the reading says, first of all, egos can activate your ego. And this is a part of this that we want to listen to. This is a part of this that we want to pay attention to. So although egos can activate your ego and get it going in directions you don't want to go, being in presence can activate presence in others and help turn the world around one person at a time. So, we could say it's catching. And that doesn't matter whether we're talking about the ego or whether we're talking about presence. It's catching. And again, using the language of A Course in Miracles, presence would be the equivalent of Holy Spirit. Using the language of Regina Dawn Akers presence would be the equivalent of inner spiritual intuition. So these are different words pointing to the same thing. One thing I like about the word presence or the word inner spiritual intuition, but maybe I even like presence better, and maybe I like the word that Gina and Jesus use better. In my experience over the last several years with students of A Course in Miracles and students of NTI, where the word Holy Spirit is used, many people feel that the Holy Spirit is something just out of their reach. just out of their reach. The Holy Spirit is some divine being that somehow they aren't worthy of. This is a very, very common belief. And as a result, all of the clarity of what we would call Holy Spirit or inner spiritual intuition or presence remains just out of reach for these individuals. And the reason for that is, again, we experience what we believe. So if I believe that I am unworthy and that Holy Spirit or spiritual intuition can have the same effect on people is just out of reach, that's where it seems to stay. Presence, to me, might be a little simpler for everyone, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would encourage people just to contemplate the idea of presence or being present. And one reason that I picked this reading is because what I've noticed in myself and others even those of us who can be very tuned in, we can lose that in conversation. And so I picked a place where most of us, if not all of us that are present here, I don't know that for sure, but I see it as a distinct possibility, where most of us or all of us can sometimes fail in our goal. And when I use the word fail, for me, there's no judgment in that. I know it sounds like a judgmental word, but there's no judgment in that. I am able to look at where I am not succeeding, look at where I am not meeting my goal with equanimity, with wisdom, with presence, and then say, oh yes, here's a place where I need to be more aware than I currently am. And conversation is one of those great, great traps of the ego. And so I wanted to bring this to our attention. I notice Iris is saying, happens to me all the time, lose myself in conversation. Kathy is saying, a huge trap. And yeah, I think it is. Like I said, probably for all of us, although I can't speak for each and every one of us, but it's likely. And so I thought today we would just bring a little bit of attention to this. It's not that there's anything, you know, deeply metaphysical that we need to discuss here. Just bringing our attention to this, bringing our attention to the fact that we most likely slip into ego while in conversation, and bringing our attention to that as well as our hearts, bringing our hearts to that. You know, the opening song that I played said, listen closely to the heart. And the heart is another word for presence, for inner spiritual intuition, for Holy Spirit, right? Our heart, if we listen to our hearts, those of us who are truly members of Awakening Together, and by truly members of Awakening Together, I mean that when we look at that common purpose and we look at that five core values, our heart says yes. Those are the true members of Awakening Together, right? Your heart says, yes, this is where I am to be right now with this purpose and these five core values, right? So anyone who is a true member of Awakening Together has a sincere interest in letting go of the ego, in letting go of the belief that I am this person, that these are my thoughts, that I am this personality, right? We really, really want that. Therefore, we really, really want to see where we are still reinforcing that. Where do I still reinforce that my opinion is my opinion? Where do I still reinforce that my history, my story is my history, my story? Where do I still reinforce that I want other people to think just like me? Where and how do I still reinforce the ego? And conversation is one of those primary places. And I know that's true because I see it even in myself. And I'm pretty focused, right? But in conversation, and I notice exactly what Gina talks about in this book, that often in the beginning of a conversation, I'm still present. But as the conversation goes on longer and longer, I get pulled in and I start expressing my opinions or my preferences or whatever, right? I start reinforcing that I am Regina. You know, with her thoughts, her opinions, her beliefs, her history, her point of view. And that's exactly what we're here to let go of. And so the reason I picked this reading again is simply because I want to bring more attention to this weakness in my own chain of presence, right? They say a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You all have heard that before, right? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Well, I'm bringing presence to a weak link in my chain, which I also suspect is a weak link in your chain. Therefore, this is helpful for all of us to just be aware the conversation. In conversation, we can get pulled in. And one thing that's really beautiful about this, again, we need to see very clearly with our hearts, with non-judgmental awareness, that when we are in discussion and people that we're talking to are in ego, and by the way, they're allowed to be an ego. If we're allowing everything to be as it is in a very deep way, they're allowed to be an ego, right, when we're in conversation with them. But we want to be aware that ego is catching. We want to be aware that when we are in conversation, this is a place where we need to become, I'm going to call it, very present, very tuned in, very aware. And I love what Gina says. You know, she has 5 tips here, but I'm going to focus right now on the first 2 tips about how to stay in presence when you are having a conversation. She says, notice what others are saying and where it is coming from, the ego or presence. Now, this isn't referring to judgment. This isn't saying, notice that the other person is an ego and judge the hell out of them. This is just saying, notice it is ego. Why? Because if you notice from presence that their speaking is ego, you are alert. You are aware. And that alone is going to make you less likely to get pulled in. Remember, ego is catching. So you're not noticing that they're an ego to judge them. You're not noticing that they're an ego to make them less than you, right? In some way, or you better than them in some way. You're noticing that they're an ego so that you can see that clearly and therefore are less likely to unconsciously get pulled into ego yourself. In fact, I learned a long time ago, although I want to get better at practicing it, this is why I'm teaching this today, but I learned a long time ago that discerning whether someone else is in ego or not is not any different than discerning if my own thoughts are in ego or not. It brings up that discerning presence. It is extremely helpful to my own way of being to notice without judgment when someone else is in ego. When I notice that someone else is in ego, when I take the time to be aware of that, I am much less likely, in fact, maybe nearly 100% less likely to get pulled into ego myself. If I don't notice, if I'm instead listening to what they're saying without taking the time to notice that is ego, you know, it's kind of like being, you know, caught in the story, you could say. If I don't notice that they're an ego, and I'm just listening to what's being said, and my believing and my thinking is going along with what they're saying, I'm more likely to get pulled in to ego myself. So again, we're not talking about judging them as less than you, judging them as bad, judging them as poor spiritual students. Yeah, Jay calls it a neutral judgment. Discernment is still a judgment, but it's a neutral judgment. We tend to use the word discernment here. But it is being aware. It is being aware. And guess what that awareness does? It helps to keep you in awareness. And again, just like Dove has been posting, you know, I say that ego is catching, and that's true. If we don't notice the ego then pulls us in, right? So the ego is catching, but presence can also be catching, right? This says, although egos can activate your ego and get it going in directions you don't want to go, being in presence can activate presence in others. Being in presence can activate presence in others. Talk about the opposite of judging someone, for example, as a poor spiritual student because they're in ego right now. I mean, this is really talking about the exact opposite. I may notice that someone is an ego, right? I mean, notice that's ego. And as a result of my own awareness, I do not desire to get pulled in. And so I stand back in presence. And then look what happens or what can happen. As I stand back in presence, not getting involved, they may join me in presence. magnificent opportunity for both of us. Talk about love. I mean, can you think of anything more loving than presence, pulling presence to itself? So if I discern that someone else is in ego, and I choose to stay in presence because I don't want to get pulled in ego, that is not a negative judgment on that person. That is an act of love, both for me and for that person. And you know, one of the things I've noticed, and of course I'm not the only one that's noticed it, and you know, I've heard other spiritual teachers even talk about it, so it's a common noticing. One of the things I've noticed is, you know, when you're at a spiritual retreat, such as the Awakening Together Fall Retreat or any other spiritual retreat, you know, people sit in usually presence while they're in what I'm going to call the teaching, whether it's a teacher that's speaking, like an Eckhart Tolle setting there speaking, or whether it's more of a joining, such as Cheryl and Dove's roundtables. But because you're in the retreat, people are in presence, right? While the retreat is in session. But then the second the dinner bell rings, although there's not actually a dinner bell, but you know what I mean. The second the dinner bell rings and the people get up and walk away towards the meal, it switches so fast it's mind-boggling. Immediately, everyone goes into conversation that is clearly ego. And again, we're not looking at this in order to judge. We're looking at this because we are a group of people who have come together in a common purpose to let go of that personal sense of self and to realize ourselves as infinite presence. And as a result of that common purpose, one of the things we need to do is look at the weakest link in our presence chain. And imagine that when we get together, us, when we get together, we join in conversation and enhance our belief in the personal self as who I am. Don't you think it's wonderful that we take the time to be aware of this? Now, the funny thing is, this doesn't mean there can't be conversation. In fact, I noticed an amazing thing on vacation with my family in South Dakota this week. Now, the reason I say it's amazing is because my family is not focused on letting go of the ego, letting go of the personal self as who they are. Jasmine and Ron have no interest awakened in that direction yet. However, Jasmine and Ron both tend to be naturally fairly quiet people. There may be a lot going on in their heads, but verbally they are fairly quiet people, which means when I am with them, I am not drawn into conversation, right? We're not sitting there talking about, you know, politics and people and relatives. I mean, these things just don't happen. And also, when we were on vacation this week, we spent a lot of time looking at wildlife. You know, we went to a lot of places where there was just a lot of wildlife that was easy to spot and see. And what I noticed was that there can be very present conversation that does not pull one into ego. You know, look at that buffalo over there. Oh, look, I think it's a longhorn sheep. Look at their shedding. Look at how, you know, look how they're shedding. Look how some of the fur is still very thick and some of it is very thin. And, you know, conversation about what's happening right now. And I felt when I was with my family, who is not focused on spiritual awakening this week, that I was easily in presence all week. There was nothing there pulling me out. You know, there wasn't that type of conversation. It was very present, very this is what's happening now conversation. And so the reason I bring this up is because some people feel I can't talk then. You know, if I can't talk about my children, if I can't talk about this, if I can't talk about that, I can't talk. And actually, that's not true. Presence can speak about what's happening right now. As a result of this last week, which is both contemplating this reading, which I knew Doug would read today, I asked him a week ago to read it. So for a whole week, I've known this was the reading. And then being with my family and noticing this very, very present conversation, about what's happening right now, I have awoken to something in my heart. And that is what I'm going to call a vow of silence. Now, it's not the traditional vow of silence, where you never speak again, where you close your mouth and you don't speak. That simply would not be practical. But I want to take a vow of silence, meaning that I want to embody this teaching that Dove read today, this remaining in presence, and especially paying attention to that in conversation, which also means, and you all might as well be aware of this, that if we are together and conversations begin about stories, about politics, about the economy, whatever, I will sit there silently. I won't judge, in the negative way, like I'm better than you because I'm silent and you're talking. But I will notice that it's ego, and I will notice I don't want to get pulled in. Cheryl Valentine, a dear friend of ours who is no longer with us in body, she once told me, because I've been practicing this in email for a very long time. My guess is none of you have a hateful email from me. It doesn't mean that I haven't read things in email that upset me. In fact, I read an email this week that upset me, and I stepped back, and it took about 5 hours before I came back and answered. I waited until I was in presence before I answered. Right? But I've been practicing this in email for a long, long time, and that's why I know you don't have, mean-spirited emails from me. Right? I don't do that. I don't go into ego in email. I now want to bring the skill that I have developed in email, and I want to bring it into conversation. And again, it's not just mean-spiritedness, it's ego at all. I want to bring that into conversation and not participate in ego conversations. But what I was about to say is that Cheryl Valentine, because I've been practicing no ego in email for many, many years, Cheryl Valentine used to tell me she always knew when she got into ego, because there would be no response from me. Or there might just be a sweet response like, thank you, I love you. Or if necessary, like if we were discussing be the love business, there might be a question. So what is it that you mean by this? Like if I needed to understand in a business way, there might just be a question. But I never got into it with her in email. And so she said, whenever I didn't respond, she knew she was an ego. And this helped her to step back and look at herself. Now, some of you may have received emails like that from me this week. There was some drama in Awakening Together, and some of you may have received emails that were very, very few words from Regina. And if so, if you want to, you can go back and look at that. But what I'm saying to everyone is this is now going to go forth into conversation. If you choose to, when you find Regina being very, very quiet, you can stop and look at yourself. And if I forget and I get into ego in conversation, please be quiet for me. And when I notice your non-engagement with me, it will give me that opportunity to step back and look at myself. I encourage everyone, if you don't have the book In the World But Not of It by Gina Lake, or as Dove pointed out, Jesus through Gina Lake, I do encourage you to get it. It's a very simple but very good book. Also, I believe Lynn Castaldo is reading from this book in the sanctuary on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, so you could come in and join Lynn in the reading of this book. It is a very good book. But definitely contemplate starting on page 79 through page 82. On conversation, because that is one of our weakest links, and we can all probably improve there. And that includes conversation on the board You know, you can watch somebody type ego something on the board, and then somebody else type ego something, and then somebody else type ego something. You can see it happen right here, right? Our purpose, at least we have said, is to let go of the ego and realize ourselves as infinite presence. In order to do that, we need to let go of acting like the ego and begin to abide more as infinite presence. And with that said, we're going to go into our contemplation time. I do have a song to play called No Place Like Your Presence by Lloyd Bustard. Also, Barb will give us a link to donate to Awakening Together if you would like to help support our expenses. Sorry, I had it turned up loud for Dove.
Like a river flowing, Lord, I will return.
right. So, Dolores, I am going to turn the mic over to you now.
Everyone, can I get a mic check? I never know. Okay, great. Well, Regina, thank you for your message this morning. It's so odd. That was at the very tippy top of my mind. I just got back from Miami visiting a college friend, and we hadn't seen each other in maybe a couple years, but I found out he has 4-stage cancer. So it was my first time in Miami, and we're going around seeing a lot of the sites, and it was his 50th class reunion. So he's a college friend, and we've always debated. So, of course, we devolved into debating this weekend. And even though I knew he had, 4-stage cancer, I had the intention of going down and being loving and all of that and non-egoic. And I could not, getting into the conversation, I could not stop myself. And then we started raising our voices, and, you know, we got back. And when I tried to, the last argument we kind of had yesterday, I was able to just be quiet. And then he asked me, was I mad, and all of that. And so, but it took us back into presence. I don't know, I was more quiet because I was licking my wounds than just being present, you know. But I was really bothered by my behavior this weekend because I started out in presence, like you said, but I ended up ego. It was so funny. And so for you to talk about this today was so very helpful. And I did think when you said about, well, you won't have a conversation about anything, because when I was quiet with him, he asked me, was I angry? And I didn't want to be angry about anything. So I did start to talk again. But I think you're at, and we were in present. When we went to the ocean, we talked about all the beauty around and all the beauty in South Beach. And when we were present, we were really, really enjoying, like you were with your family, just enjoying wildlife. And so I really appreciate this. Because I don't want to be know-it-all, and it doesn't feel good. It's very, very painful to be that way. So thank you so much for your message this morning. I'm letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to pass that gratitude on to Gina Lake and Jesus, because it was reading it in Gina Lake's book that really brought it to the forefront, even though I've always been aware of this. You know how something can come more to the front, more to the front. And it came to the front to the degree that I feel like taking this vow of silence, which I've said is not the traditional vow, but I want to take this vow of silence now, thanks to them. All right, Sonia, the mic is yours.
What a wonderful lesson we're having this morning. And I'm having a little bit of trouble because I couldn't hear, so I'm also on my phone, and so I'm hearing two conversations at one time because there's a delay. Excellent, excellent this morning, Regina. And it was perfect for me as well. It seems forever, I've surrounded myself with folks on a spiritual path, and then work, and I just saw customers. I really didn't have to interact with coworkers. And now for the last year and a half, I am, and it's difficult. And you really do walk a fine line, and I don't seem to be doing too well with it. And the symbols have come up recently more and more and more. And so it's wonderful for Gina to give us actual instructions. And I definitely well, be practicing them, you almost feel as if you say nothing, you're afraid that folks think you're not interested if you don't join in. And you don't want to join in because you don't want to be an ego. And I think it was Christian Head, our dear friend Chris Head, who said if you find yourself recommending a certain kind of washer and dryer, you know you've gone off the path. And lately it seems like I've been recommending a lot of washers and dryers. So perfect. Just perfect, stellar. And I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you. And just another bit of clarity that's come to me in the last month or so. I know I shared it with Jay. I don't know if I shared it with anyone else yet. But what I've realized is you have to want awakening more than you like people. And that doesn't mean you don't love people. Because like I said, in conversation, if you observe that someone is an ego and you choose to be silent, that is an act of love. Right? That is an act of love. But if you really like people, like you like ice cream and Oreos and, you know, all those other things, you get pulled into ego. So you have to want awakening more than you like people, and also, of course, more than you want to be liked by people. All right, Kathy, thanks for waiting. The mic is yours.
This was also a perfect lesson for me and a kind of some guidance, I guess you would call it, that I received on Wednesday. And really, I went into silence as a result of anger, and I recognized, you know, my anger for actually like a day and a half, and literally was silent verbally within, you know, my family pattern, inquiring within myself, asking, angrily asking for what I was supposed to see in this, what this was for. And it finally occurred to me, you know, a day and a half later, as I literally felt this despair, and then witnessed the despair in a outpictured way. I came across a homeless fella that I happened to be crossing by, you know, happened to be, and I was walking a dog, and he was pushing his grocery cart full of his life, and he stopped about 50 feet in front of me, and as the traffic was at a complete lull, and he raised his arms to the heavens, and didn't say a word, but the gesture was so impactful, as if to, you know, plead with God, where are you? The despair felt, the look on his face as he had passed me by, the despair was so unmistakable, at least for me, and it was a reflection of my own despair that particular day. And literally, like, you know, 25 feet past that, he stopped and shouted, "There is no love in the world." And again, a reflection of a deep despair that I was experiencing. And, you know, 25 feet after that, he stops again and says, if you look for love, it will hurt you. And I had very clear, outpictured symbols of brothers and sisters showing me my own despair. As I angrily, you know, addressed God, asking him seemingly, what is this all about? And really what it came to, again for me, was that I was to use mindfulness watching my own thoughts, not what someone else is doing behaviorally or what they're saying in a communicative, you know, wordy way, but watch my own thoughts, as Gina Lake reiterated in her sharing, which I thought was excellent. Watch my own thoughts. If there are thoughts of condemnation, criticism, or complaint, be silent. And so that day and a half of my silence, where I was in anger, looking at my anger, recognizing that anger within myself, releasing that anger, trying to give that anger over, take this from me, I don't want this. It occurred to me in practice, in communication practice, which we all daily are in communication with something or someone, seemingly in an external world, I noticed as I was in mindfulness watching my thoughts that I had very little to say. So many of my thoughts contained one of the three C's, and so there was a lot of silence. I mean, a lot of silence. And my family was uncomfortable with that silence. They didn't know what to make of that silence. They thought I was mad at them. And what for me, if I'm noticing ego within myself, I prefer not to speak because it doesn't really there's nothing good to come from that. So I try to sit with my own anger or whatever emotion or whatever, you know, madness is coming up within my mind. That's the time to sit and be silent. Or if I don't have, you know, like I say, something isn't passing through that's worthy of conversing about, just be silent, just be quiet. And that was my guidance. Just be quiet. Listen more, talk less. So that was my experience this week, and that's exactly what was shared with us today here in the sanctuary. So I appreciate you listening, and I'll release the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, Kathy, that was a perfect demonstration. In fact, I mentioned that Gina's first two tips about how to stay present when having a conversation were my favorite, but then I only talked about the first one. I didn't talk about the second one, and you talked about the second one. So those first two tips were, number one, notice what others are saying and where it is coming from, the ego or presence. And then tip number two, notice what your own thought stream might be producing in response to theirs. So there we go. You covered the second one for me. Thank you very much. Teddy has said in the room, the only way you know how much you want to awaken is by seeing how much you don't. Honest, fundamental admission. And I think that's another way of saying what I said earlier when I talked about looking at the weakest link in the chain, right? If we get pulled into ego during conversation, it really is, in a way, because we still want ego. But at a deeper level, we don't. At the level of awareness, at the level of presence, we don't, right? So by staying in presence, we will notice that we don't want to get pulled into ego, that we do want awakening more, and that's kind of a shift that happens in the process of being present. And Dev is saying, presence is the way of the moderator in spiritual roundtables. and Lynn says, if I think I'm seeing ego, isn't that because I'm looking through ego? No, not at all. Not at all. That's a confusion. you would never be able to disengage from ego if you couldn't see it. You know, you have to be able to know what ego is and recognize you're not interested in it in order to disengage from it. If you could not see it, you would actually be stuck in it. So there are a lot of spiritual confusions that come about that actually keep us trapped in ego. And what Lynn has just typed is one of those spiritual confusions, right? Is one of those, presence sees ego. I'll give you an example, Lynn. Jesus, of course, is 100% presence. But yet in A Course in Miracles, Jesus points out the ego very, very clearly. So presence sees ego, but it knows that it's not truth. That's the difference. And again, anyone who denies ego is actually going to stay in ego. So please beware of that spiritual confusion. Yeah. All right. And like I said, I really want to, yeah, ego can never know presence. Right. It does work that way. It does work that way, Dolores. So as I said, one of the things I really want to help with at the spiritual retreat is to help people improve what I'm calling awakening skills, for lack of a better word. Help people improve their awakening skills, which is your own practice, you and you, you and you. And one of the things we can address are confusions. Like, you know, I'm not supposed to see the ego, or that means I'm in ego. You know, we can even address these types of things. I will tell you that recently someone recommended to me that I gather 12 people and teach them all of the truths that I know. And this person was genuinely sincere. And I've looked at that, and I don't know how I would pick, quote, 12. I don't know that I'm going to follow through with this. But I will tell you that teaching of the truths that I know in a deeply helpful way is the intention at the fall retreat. Now, whether something will continue after that or not, I don't know. But if you are genuinely interested in improving your awakening skills, please come to the fall retreat. And again, if you don't have the money, we have a scholarship fund, right? So with that, I want to thank you all for coming. I also, one reason I couldn't pick 12, I will tell you why I couldn't pick 12 people if I was going to gather 12 people around me and teach them all of the truths that I know, is because I see too many people here that I perceive as sincerely interested, more than 12. I that's how I perceive the people that are genuinely interested in awakening together. Again, I think that's why Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar and people like this have come here and spoken, because there is a deep, genuine interest here. And so I could never pick 12. But I think one evidence of your genuine interest is the conversation that happened today after my teaching. I mean, how many people in the world do you think would love a reminder that when we get into conversation, we tend to get an ego and we need to watch that? Many people would be offended by such a reminder, but you all loved it. What does that say about you? That says that you are genuinely interested in awakening to your true self. And I'm there with you. And I sincerely hope that as we go forward as awakening together, that we can continue to help each other in this way of awakening, instead of letting our egos knock up against our egos and helping us to avoid what we truly want. So with that said, again, thank you for coming. Thank you for being you, and by you, I mean that sincere heart I just spoke about. And I'm going to play our closing song now. It does come from the Untethered Soul album, and it's What More Can I Offer? And the reason I'm playing this song is I think that this awareness of conversation came from me asking just this question. You know, because I do spend a lot of time in contemplation. I spend a lot of time now in meditation. And I was really asking, what more can I offer? And that's when this awareness of taking the vow of silence came up. Again, not fully the traditional, but you know what I mean by the vow of silence. So my question is, what more can I offer? And the response that I received from the heart was, take a vow of silence. Do not participate in ego conversations anymore. So this is the song, What More Can I Offer?
I offer each heartbeat, I offer each breath, I offer the hours from morning to rest. What more can I offer? What more can I do? I'm already given my I already made you.
Yeah, and I will tell you that I did receive a bit of guidance while listening to the song with you today. And the guidance that I received is that it will strengthen my vow of silence if I formally make the vow before witnesses. So I'm going to ask you all to please be my witnesses. And I hereby take a vow of silence. This is not a vow of complete silence, as is traditionally taken, because that is not practical for me. But it is a vow not to speak from ego, and not to participate in ego-based conversations. So I want to thank you all for being the witnesses to my vow of silence. Have a good day. Bye.